You know, even in the most sacred American document is the recognition that there is an almighty God to which all humanity must answer. Even the Constitution that is enshrined. Amen? And you're part of humanity that answers to this God. You know, in the public space of the Rainbow Bridge, linking Canada to the United States, I also found this truth etched. And while it is on the Canadian side, you can see this tower here. Can you see this tower? And any of you recognize this bridge? It's the Rainbow Bridge. And this big arch here is over the Niagara River. Of course, in the center of it, you have the two flags right there. That's the middle. And the two flags. Well, on this particular tower, I found something very interesting. That's the base of that tower. Do you know what is etched right there? You know, typically today when we hear about the rainbow, we think of something else. But the rainbow is biblical. And the reason this is called the Rainbow Bridge is because these words are inscribed there at the base of that tower. And it says, "And God said, this is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." Public space. I was amazed to see that right there at the border crossing. And these are the three passages inscribed on this tower at the Rainbow Bridge. Hence, the name Rainbow Bridge is that they depict God's covenant in the rainbow with humanity. You can look up Ezekiel 1:28, means the first half of the verse, and also Revelation 4, verse 3. You can look those up, but those are the text inscribed there on this monument. And so that is it in full I gave for you there in Genesis. So you can see, and God says, "The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." The truth is, God does not forget. So even though it says, "so that I may remember when I look on the bow," God does not forget. Amen? And he knows exactly where you lay at night to sleep. And he watches over you. He never forgets. Now, the Rainbow Bridge represents God's rainbow covenant, which is one piece of evidence that God has jurisdiction over all human beings. Amen? So whether they believe or not, one's persuasion does not matter. Whether you are red, brown, yellow, black, and white, like the kiddie song says, you know, you are precious in God's sight. Amen? God gave his life on Calvary's cross for you and for me. Amen? Now, when God said that he would destroy all lives on earth with the flood, the people did not believe Preacher Noah. Even church members had scant regard for that message that God sent to them. You know, you see, it had never rained before up to that point. How could there be a flood now? The people questioned. But like the so-called bright minds of today, they questioned God's word and reasoned away its significance. And I heard that term in Sabbath school this morning, and I was smiling. You know, they reason away God's truth. They reason away. But Noah believed God. And we learn in Sabbath school that Paul did, in spite of the circumstances. Noah believed God. And as Noah preached, he was driving those nails and building the ark. He was demonstrating his belief in practical terms. How about us here today? You know, I was asking the Reynolds whether they saw this when they went out to Kentucky. Because this is a live size. What is it, Wilmington? Kentucky is where this life size of Noah's Ark is to be found. Major tourist attraction to the people leave all over the world to go see this. Noah built the original. You know, but many derided him as a wild fanatic. In their minds, they had scientific evidence of the impossibility of a flood. Like a mad carnival, they jeered Noah. But those scoffers mocked God's judgment. They came, and it is coming again. Amen? It is coming again. The earth will become one big lake of fire, and we should remember that. The end is very near. No more will the earth be covered by a flood of waters. The earth will become one boiling, seething lake of fire. As surely as you were born, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Amen? Like the prophet Amos did, I also come to you in the name of God, crying out, prepare to meet thy God. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you ready for Jesus to come? In Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, the word of God says, John says, then I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, what should we do? Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Do you know that this is the same springs of water that was broken up in Noah's flood? Right in the heart of the three angels' messages is the judgment hour message, not only once, but twice. It literally says the hour of his judgment is come, and it also says that the fountains of waters are mentioned there. This is reference to Noah's flood, the flood of Noah's days. Ladies and gentlemen, youth and young adults, children, God's judgment day is already in progress, like we know. The investigative judgment began in 1844, and soon to come will be God's retributive judgment, like the seven last plagues. It's coming, and God is saying his church needs to wake up to the times and to help others to be ready for his glorious appearing. Christ is coming back. And then we go on to the third angel's message. By the way, the second angel's message in verse 8 is a call for God's people to leave Babylon and to stand with his remnant church and the truth that he sent our way. Amen? Then the third angel's message follows in Revelation 14, 9 to 11. That a third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or in his hand, that he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength, unmingled with mercy, is what the term is conveying to us. Full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. The end is upon us. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Now, our goal here as a church is to inspire hope. Amen? Our goal is to discover Bible truth. And our big goal is to be positioned for eternal life by faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Yes, my friends. So I just want to again join the team and welcome everyone here today to the house of God. Amen? You've made the best choice. You've chosen the best place. Amen? To be in God's house. And before I say any more, I want to remind you of something. And that is that God loves you. Do you know that this love is what matters the most? I mean, I look around in this room and I can see individuals who've lost loved ones. Several people right here have lost their spouse. They don't have that love to enjoy anymore right now. But God's love will always be there. Amen? God's love abides forever. And it's the greatest love. As a matter of fact, that love between two spouses is only a little reflection of the great love that we have from God and with God. Amen? God loves you. And the cross of Christ, is the greatest demonstration of love in the history of the universe, in the history of humanity, certainly. The cross. Now, by my last check, the stock market is doing okay. As I look around, homes are getting bigger. Isn't that true? Cars are getting more luxurious. Phones, social media, technology, salaries, the retirement plans, and all are looking real good these days. Isn't that true? Could this world, with such advanced technologies and social accomplishments and scientific achievements, be really coming to an end? Is that possible? As we see the progress of humanity, those truly genuine questions arise. But I want to let you know that God cannot lie. Amen? His word cannot err. My Bible reads in Matthew 24, and Jesus said to them, "See not all these things apply to our time. See not all these things. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And so as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Ellen White has this to say in The Great Controversy, page 17. From the crest of Olivet, Jesus looked upon Jerusalem. Fair and peaceful was the scene spread out before him. It was a season of the Passover, and from all lands, the children of Jacob had gathered there to celebrate the great national festival. In the midst of gardens and vineyards and green slopes studded with pilgrims' tents rose the terraced hills, the stately palaces, and massive bulwarks of Israel's capital. The daughter of Zion seemed in her pride to say, "I sit a queen, secure in heaven's favor." But my Bible tells me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through the 9, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes how? As a thief in the night. For when they say what? Peace and safety. What happens? Then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the sons of light and of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do." And isn't that one of the songs we sing? "Sleep not as do others. Be watchful and wait." Amen? It says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." And we should be sober literally, and we should be sober spiritually. Amen? It's time to put away the alcohol. And there are a few people still with the light that God has sent that sneak a little bottle of alcohol. There are some people who still do it. God says to be sober. to be watchful and to be sober. And he wants us to be sober literally, no alcohol. We all are called to be teetotalers. 0% of alcohol consumption. Amen? He calls us to be sober. And he wants us also to be spiritually sober. So we can read the signs of the times. Therefore, our lives should be different from the people who have no connection with God. Amen? Because we can see the signs of the times and know that the coming is near. The day approaches. It says, for those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Amen? For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. When the world least expects it, Christ will come. To the unprepared, his coming will be like a thief in the night. Thieves break through unannounced. And you've heard my recent encounter with thieves. You heard that story. These guys are smart. I didn't go to bed till after midnight that night. And I was maybe 2.5 hours in a journey called sleep. And that's when they struck. They say most thieves, professional thieves, that rob houses, they strike between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. in the dead of night. And they come unannounced. And I awoke with two men standing over me. But praise God, I'm still standing on top of my grave. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, the thieves come unannounced. But so to the ungodly, Christ's second coming will be unannounced. It will just catch them off guard. But God's righteous people see ahead. Amen? They have the gift of discernment. They know the signs of the times. They know the waymarks and the signposts on the way to heaven. Daniel 12 describes how when certain things are coming on the world, the wicked will see but will not understand any of it. But Daniel says the righteous will. Are you among the class of the righteous today? Because you know, we can be in church and yet we are still hellbound. You know that? It's more than just physically being in church. It's that also that spiritual connection with Christ. And by the way, physically being in church is very important. Amen?
Amen.
There are some people who think that they'll be saved at home. It's not going to happen. There are certain things that God requires the fellowship of the believers. Amen? Togetherness. Time spent together. And we were just called, even in prayer from the sacred desk, that we should show up for more of the church events. Amen? The church should not just be an auxiliary thing in our lives. The church, Christ's bride, Christ should be central to our lives. And so should his bride, the church. Amen? We kind of have it reversed. We put the job first. A job is just to bring us income and for us to be a witness in that workplace so we can bring an income also to feed our families. Work cannot be the center of your life. By the way, I tell you a secret. If you should drop dead at your workplace, the next day you'll be replaced. Did you know that? They'll send a nice bouquet of flowers to your relatives and a nice letter, maybe even some money, if they're good for that. But they'll replace you the next morning. You're not that important at your workplace. They make you feel that way, which is good. But you'll be replaced the very next day. But think about your eternal life. You should go all in for that, amen? You should give everything for the cause of Christ. Yes, my friend, God's people see ahead. In Matthew chapter 24, again verse 2 says, Jesus said to them, see not all these things. Verily I say unto you, they shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And you all know that this literally happened, right? Today in old Jerusalem, is there a temple there? Are there any stones of the temple there that are stacked on each other? No. The only thing existing in Jerusalem today of that old temple is what is called, it was a retaining wall, and today they call it the Wailing Wall. That was not a part of the temple, it was just a retaining wall. Like Jesus said, one stone shall not be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. And you know in AD 70, when that destruction came, what happened is that the fire was so fierce that it melted all these nice boards that were in the temple and all the gold that overlay the inside. That gold melted and went down in the crevices of the rocks. And those soldiers got on their pillaging. They used crowbars and different tools to pull those rocks apart so they could pillage all that gold. And so, literally, they threw those stones down. Not one stone was left upon another. God's word cannot fail. Cannot fail. He says so, and it is so. Amen? We go on in verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said to them, the first thing, take heed, be careful, be watchful, like Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. Take heed that no one deceives you. And deceptions are so subtle, but yet they are so powerful. There are people who used to be part of this congregation right here that have swallowed the pill of deception. There are people now who are following movements that have nothing to do with the Bible, that used to be a part of this congregation once. They have been deceived, and Satan has sifted them out of God's remnant church. And funny enough, these people actually believe they have new light from God. But what they think is light is darkness. God has raised up this Seventh-day Adventist church as his remnant church. And the truth that this church proclaims from God's scriptures is the eternal truth of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus says, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And there are many little Jesuses walking around today. There's one down in Florida. He's a Puerto Rican. Wears nice Rolex watches and drives around in Rover cars and Rolls Royce, and he has all kind of monies. Yeah, he says he's Jesus. I won't tell him to go look on YouTube to see him. I don't want him to trick you. And all his followers, they are tattooing 666 in the back of their heads and different parts of their bodies. And here's a guy saying he's Jesus. And all the people are emptying out their bank accounts and they're giving to this guy. Right here in America. There's another Jesus over in Russia. His name is Vissarion. He wears those same long, wide, flowing robes. He has the long beard that is split and the long hair parted in two, blonde hair and blue-eyed, just like the picture. Right now, he has over 5,000 followers in Russia. Guy living like a king over there. Say he's Jesus. There are many Jesuses around. Jesus says, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And we're not short on that today, amen? We're not short on that. It's like every turn you hear of wars and the possibility of other wars. Rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That's what Jesus says. But by the way, he said this 2,000 years ago. The end is really coming now. I want to put it in perspective, amen? That temple was thrown down. The rocks were thrown down. All that was fulfilled. We are now 2,000 years later than when he gave these statements. And we've seen the fulfillment of these prophecies. We're at the end now. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And by the way, you know, Kevin was sharing this morning in Sabbath school how with this guy over in Germany during World War II and how he stood up against Hitler's agenda. When it says here nation against nation, it's not in the first primary sense talking about national borders, Canada against Mexico or the US against Canada. It's not talking more about that. It's talking about this idea of ethnic war, ethnic cleansing, racism in other words. Did you know that? Ethnos is a word for nation. Ethnos. That's a Greek word. Ethnicity. That's where the word ethnicity derives from. Ethnos, nation. One word. And so racism, God says, nation will rise against nation. Race against race. Racism. And also kingdom against kingdom. This is now country against country. kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. And we see them coming more and more now. People starving. And there are the famines and there are pestilences. Now, these are the different kind of diseases. And we have all these Ebola, and then there is HIV AIDS, and this cancer is popping up everywhere, even killing some of our own people. Cancer is everywhere. We just heard somebody saying, I can't even disclose a new friend because they don't know what kind of cancer it is. Pestilences and earthquakes in various places. We even heard an earthquake story for children's story today. There are earthquakes so many today you can't keep up. Japan, within the last 2 weeks. Japan, Venezuela, Trinidad, Jamaica had an earthquake within the last 2 weeks. That's just four I can recall in the last 2 weeks. Earthquakes, they're everywhere. They're so frequent and so powerful, you know, we can't even keep up. Jesus says, earthquakes in various places, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And the greatest sorrow of all is the missing out on heaven. Following the seven last plagues. For anyone to turn around and miss heaven. One songwriter says, oh, if I miss heaven, it would be better if I was not born. And Seventh-day Adventists are also in danger. Because we have great revelation from God. But how greatly we follow is another story. And we ought to be careful that we are not in church riding first class to hell. We ought to be careful that we are not in church and we are hellbound, hellbent. We got to do self-evaluation against God's word. Are we truly really Seventh-day Adventists? Are we truly biblical Christians? Do we follow the Christ of scriptures? These are questions we must ask and answer for our own selves. Jesus says all these are the beginning of sorrows. You know, the truth is, it only gets worse before it gets better. Amen? Did you know that stars never stop shining? The stars never stop shining. But only when it is dark enough you can see the stars. In these days of peace and plenty, everyone in church looks like they are ready for Jesus to come. We all look like we are ready for heaven. It is like how all trees look so nice, lush, and green in the summertime. But it is the harsh realities of winter that prove which are the evergreen trees. Similarly, it is a test and trials that God's words talk about that will prove who are really the Jesus lovers. He says in John 14:15, if you love me, what should you do? Keep my commandments. But there are so many Christians today. Today, God's Sabbath, what are they doing? Why are they not in church on God's Sabbath? Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I think this is really simple language. Keep my commandments. All ten. Jesus equates love for him with your keeping his commandments. I thought I would get an amen for that one. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you can be certain his commandments includes the seventh day Sabbath. Do you want to have eternal life? Is it your desire? Then here are two biblical cases that deserve your study time. In Matthew chapter 19, beginning verse 16, it says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have what? What is it that we all want at the end of this age? Eternal life. So thank God, somebody in the Bible asked the question on our behalf. We all have that question. What is it I may do that I might have eternal life? So he said to him, Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, what should you do? So if you are going to have eternal life, what should you do? Yeah, we should say it like we mean it, man. We're studying the word. We're studying the word and we're preaching the truth together. Amen? Yes, if you're going to have eternal life, you should?
Keep all of them.
Yes, sir. All of them. Not one missing. Now, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 18, to the first half of 19, this section says, so the young man, that young man said to Christ, which ones? See, you're talking to a Jew now. Which ones? The Jews had health laws. The Jews had ceremonial laws. The Jews had civil laws. And the Jews had the Ten Commandments. Which ones, Lord? Which commandments are you talking about? Is it the one about not eating unclean meats like Mr. Pig and drinking alcohol and eating seafoods? Is that set is the one you're talking about, Lord? Is it the one that I should observe the feast days, Lord? Which set are you talking about? Jesus said, you shall not murder. And I put the number where it falls in the Ten Commandments to the left for you. Jesus says, you shall not murder. That's commandment number 6. He says, you shall not commit adultery. That's commandment number 7. He says, you shall not steal. That's commandment number 8. He says, you shall not bear false witness. That's commandment number 9. And he also says, honor your father and your mother. That's commandment number 5. And then he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. So Jesus listed at least 5 of the 10 commandments to say which commandment he was talking about. That if you want to have eternal life, you must keep the 10 commandments. And so, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus leaves no question as to which set of the commandments he spoke about. It was the 10 commandments. He says, if you want to have eternal life, if you want to go to heaven, keep the commandments. Amen? Look now. How Jesus includes the Sabbath. In Matthew 24, verses 20 and 21, Jesus says, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. Jesus was still speaking of a future time. Pray that when this trouble comes, it will not come on a Sabbath. Why? Because when you're fleeing persecution, you're not thinking about holiness, you're thinking about self-preservation. In the winter time, I don't have to tell New Yorkers what it means, especially upstate New Yorkers. You know why you don't want to flee in the winter time. Amen? He says, pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation. So all the Christians who want to be raptured out of this world, tell them Jesus says there will be great tribulation. And we should pray that it doesn't come in the winter or on the Sabbath day. We're not going to just walk away freely while the other generations had to face trials. We must face our final test too, amen? For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until that time, no, nor ever shall be. There's a time of trouble still coming ahead of us. And when America breaks loose, when this nation breaks loose, it will be the final one. It's coming. So when we hear the truth, our duty is to pray and obey. Amen? Pray and obey. On the day of Pentecost, some 3,000 people were baptized into the fledgling Christian church. They heard the word of God. The call was given, prepare to meet thy God. And they took safety in obedience. Amen? They took safety in obedience. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus himself says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, of all ethnicities. I told you the word ethnos. Go and make disciples of all ethnicities, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. Who else today will be Christ's disciple? Who else will accept the invitation to become a part of his last church on earth that keeps his Ten Commandments and have the faith of Jesus? Who else will not repent with bitter tears and get baptized and ready for heaven? In Luke 15 and verse 7, and it's amazing, I heard all these points coming out today outside of the sermon. I say to you, likewise, that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Amen? The Bible says so. Baptism is the only means by which a person can join God's church on earth. Did you know that? And baptism can only come after repentance. That's why we don't have infant baptism. There can be no such thing as infant baptism. Remember, the church on earth is a part of God's family in heaven. We should always remember that. Amen? Baptism grants you entrance to the church, hence the family of God. In Acts chapter 2, 36 to 41, Luke writes, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, ruler and Messiah." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Is God calling you today? Then what is your answer to him? What is your answer to Jesus today? And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And I believe with all my heart that we have come to a time of the most perverse generation in the history of humanity. People do not want God today. People wouldn't mind if all churches just closed down and closed their mouths. People don't want to hear about God anymore. And it's taking over the whole world. There are movements today that are rising up, and their ultimate intention is to shut the churches down. But ladies and gentlemen, as long as we live, we must pledge by God's grace that we're going to stand on his word. We're going to stand on this truth. And do or die, we're going to stand with Jesus Christ. Amen? We got to reach that commitment now. We cannot back down. Amen? So it says, "Save yourself from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received this word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And he said to them, and this is the one you asked for this morning, Kevin. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And it's in following verses that talk about picking up deadly serpents and drinking poisonous things, and it will not harm you. And so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord did what? He added to the church. How often? Daily. Those who are being saved. And praise God, today we'll have a living witness of one more added to the church as she is being saved, like we all are. Amen? Amen. So baptism is the entry point to God's church. And God's church is the entry point to heaven. Did you know that? Yes. Where do you stand today? And how is it with your soul? When heaven bends down low to scoop up God's children off the earth, will you be found ready for translation? In Genesis 28, as I drive to a close, Jacob had this powerful dream. It says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome. The King James Version says, how dreadful is this place. This is none other than the house of God. And how did he conclude? And this is the, I told you I didn't make it up. He said, the house of God is the gate of heaven. This is God's entry point to heaven, his church. Amen. That's how important church is. That's how important it is. So order is heaven's first law. And by the way, that's a direct quote from Ellen White. Order is heaven's first law. And God has sent me to tell his children here today to get your house in order. In other words, prepare to meet your God. In order to be saved in heaven, you must repent here on earth. Your baptism is a public symbol of your repentance, your death to sin, and your resurrection to the newness of life in Jesus Christ. Amen? Baptism empowers you as a member and as a disciple of God's church. God is calling you to give up your sins now in exchange for heaven to come. We are told that the 144,000 were all sealed and perfectly united. On their foreheads was written, God, New Jerusalem, and a glorious star containing Jesus' new name. That's Spiritual Gifts, Volume 2, page 31. At our happy, holy state, the wicked were enraged and would rush violently to lay hands on us, to thrust us in prison, when we would stretch forth the hand in the name of the Lord, and the wicked would fall helpless to the ground. Amen? Soon our eyes were drawn to the east, for a small black cloud had appeared, about half as large as a man's hand, which we all knew was a sign of the Son of Man. So if you didn't know before, I want to tell you today that the prophetess of God saw as a sign of Christ approaching is going to be a small cloud about half the size of a man's hand. Amen? So if you didn't know before, take it as a cue today. She saw this cloud, and we all knew was a sign of the Son of Man. We all in solemn silence gazed on the cloud as it drew nearer and became lighter, glorious and still more glorious, till it was a great white cloud. The bottom appeared like fire, and here goes the rainbow. A rainbow was over it, and around the cloud were 10,000 angels singing a most lovely song. And an artist tried to capture some of it for us, what it might look like. And on it sat the Son of Man. On his head were crowns. His hair was white and curly and lay on his shoulders. His feet had the appearance of fire. In his right hand was a sharp sickle. In his left, a what kind of trumpet? A silver trumpet. His eyes were as a flame of fire, which searched his children through and through. Then all faces gathered paleness, and those that God had rejected gathered blackness. Then we all cried out, who shall be able to stand? Is my robe spotless? Then the angels ceased to sing, and there was some time of awful silence when Jesus spoke. What did he say? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart shall be able to stand. My grace is sufficient for you. Then Jesus' silver trumpet sounded as he descended on the cloud, wrapped in flames of fire. He gazed on the graves of the sleeping saints. Then he raised his eyes and his hands toward heaven and cried, awake, 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 he that sleep in the dust, arise. Yes, my friends, Paul said it this way, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, Ginger. You're looking to see your husband again. Bob, to see your wife again. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Amen? Ellen White says, then there was a mighty earthquake. The graves opened and the dead came up clothed with immortality. The 144,000 shouted, hallelujah! As they recognized their friends who had been torn from them by death. And in the same moment, it says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be called together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. It says in that moment we were changed and called up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. We all enter the cloud together and we're 7 days ascending to the sea of glass. And I will pause there. Count the best you can. In every 7 days, there is a Sabbath. If we were 7 days ascending to the city of God, we're going to celebrate a Sabbath on the way. Amen? In every 7 days, there is a Sabbath. So people always ask, what happened to the millions of Christians who died who never kept the Sabbath? They'll have an opportunity to keep one on the way. Amen? And they won't have to pray in faith then because Jesus will be present. Amen? We can talk to him directly. Yes, by the way, our Feast of Tabernacles begin the day Jesus comes. And that lasted 7 days. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. It lasts 7 days. Amen? And so it says, we were 7 days ascending to the sea of glass when Jesus brought along the crowns and with his own right hand placed them on our heads. What an honor. No degrees received from institution of learning. No honor received from the President of the United States. No honor received from the Queen of England. No honor received from the man of sin, the Pope of Rome. None of this can equal what Jesus does. With his own right hand, he placed the crowns on our head. But I tell you, don't you dream for this moment? Amen. Yes. Yes, with his own right hand. Christ is coming back. And he's sending you the message to get ready. What is your answer to Jesus today? God loves you with an everlasting love. Life, as we know it, is going to end on the day that Jesus Christ returns. So his message to you is, prepare to meet thy God. And this is the last text in Amos 4 and verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do, O Israel, the people of God. That will I do, O Israel, because I do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Prepare.